Hello, my friends. I am the Reverend Nancy Reed McKee, the minister at the North Lake Unitarian Universalist Church in beautiful Kirkland, Washington. Welcome to our podcast. We hold services each Sunday morning at 10:30 Pacific time, and we host a hybrid service where most people join us in person, but you're also welcome to join us online via Zoom. We publish excerpts from our selected services as podcasts, such as this one. To learn more about us or to reach out and contact us, please visit our website at northlakeuu.org. That's NORTHLAKEUU.ORG, no capitals. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I look forward to hearing from you. Blessings.
Back in the 1990s, Lily Tomlin traveled around the United States performing a one-person show. I don't know how many of you had the chance to see The Search for Intelligent Life in the Universe. Does anyone remember that? Search for Intelligent Life in the Universe, yep. The central figure in the play is Trudy, a homeless woman who is looking for the meaning of life. As she moves through the play and through her life, whenever Trudy finds something that has meaning, or might remind her of awe, or has some kind of a profound thought that she knows she needs to remember, she writes it down on a post-it note. Because she has no permanent place to live, no place to post her notes, she sticks the notes to herself, adorning her body with post-it notes, plucking them off whenever she feels a need. So not many of you have had the chance to come by my office, although all of you should know that you are welcome to stop by. And when you do venture in, you will find that I am much like Trudy, except that I have the stability of a desk and four walls to stick my post-it notes up. At any time, you can find quite an array of messages ranging from the mundane, like password, Rev 316. Did you get that? Do I need to repeat it? So you yeah. To the practical, covidactnow.org. To the obscure, one says OMEB. And every time I look at it, I have to think for a moment before I remember it stands for Ordinary Moments of Extraordinary Bliss. OMEB. Every few weeks, these become too much. They're all over the place. So I force myself to review them. I throw away the ones that I just don't understand. I complete tasks that are outlined on others, and some I save. There are not many worth saving, in fact, but here are some of the ones that have made it to my long-term collection. Everything deserves a loving response. Here's another. You're going to love this one. As a non-creedal faith, the only evidence we have of how we are is how we love and support each other. There are those trying to set fire to the world. We are in danger. There is time only to work slowly. There is no time not to love. And this last one. Don't forget to love each other. As you can see, a central theme for me is around love, how I am in relationship with each of you and the world. So I did not grow up in a family or culture that talked about love or demonstrated it. I never heard my parents say, "I love you." We didn't hug or kiss each other. And so I have a reticence about being demonstrative with my love. And I regret that. I think it costs me a lot in both my personal life and in my role as a minister. As you can see from my post-it notes, I place a lot of importance about how we are in relationship with each other, how we love each other, how we are in community together. But I have to remind myself about that all the time with post-it notes I stick all over the place. Don't forget to show you love people. Otherwise, I forget to act that way, to remind you that I love you and that you are important to me. And I don't think I'm the only one here who feels a bit stifled by the vulnerability of showing love to others, or who is simply not in the habit of showing genuine affection and connection. So how do we do that reorientation? How do we begin to move out of habits that keep us isolated? This has been one of my lifelong wonderings, and as part of this, I want to tell you a story about my son Sam, shared here with his permission. So Sam was a difficult child to raise. Before he even entered preschool, he was diagnosed as having both oppositional defiance disorder and as having an anger management disorder. In each grade of school as he went through it, he had major disruptive episodes with his teachers and other students, often violent. He was on a first-name basis with all his principals, and so was I. As he moved into high school, his behavior struggles continued. He was sullen, disrespectful. These are his words. He was sullen, disrespectful to teachers. He had ongoing outbursts. And in general, he was not happy. And he created a negative energy in the classrooms. No one enjoyed his presence, including himself. Now, for unclear reasons, perhaps just a natural part of maturing, during the summer between his 10th and 11th grades, something shifted in Sam as he began to realize that not only was he unhappy, but he made his friends unhappy, and they didn't enjoy being around him. So he decided to try something different. He challenged himself to find one thing to smile at and one thing to laugh at every day. That's two small behavior changes, but it turned out this was a major life shift for him. By trying to respond with a smile and a laugh, he had to begin to actively look for things he could respond to. This wasn't superficial. It wasn't a fake thing. Sam is too genuine to pretend to smile at someone. Those of you who know him know that. And it turned out that by paying more attention to what was good and funny and inspiring, he actually became happier. He became more enthusiastic about things and more supportive of those around him. By the end of his junior year, he was honored with the Student of the Year Award, something that never occurred to us as possible until then. This experience with Sam is not unique. Rick Hansen, the neuropsychologist who co-authored the book Buddha's Brain, writes, and I quote, "One of the central experiences of my life occurred one evening around Thanksgiving when I was about 6 years old. I remember standing across the street from our house on the edge of cornfields in Illinois, seeing ruts in the dark soil filled with water from a recent rain. On the distant hill, tiny lights twinkled. I felt quiet and clear inside, and sad about the unhappiness in my home. Then it came to me very powerfully. It was up to me and no one else to find my way over time toward those faraway lights and the possibility of happiness they represented. That moment has stayed with me because of what it taught me about what is and isn't within our control. It's impossible to change the past or the present. You can only accept all that as it is. But you can tend to the causes of a better future." End of quote. In his book, Hansen goes on to show the science about how we can transform our lives when we set our minds to it. Literally. He explains that we can use our mind to change the structure of our brain, and we can gradually rewire our brain. He has found that what we pay attention to will manifest as a physical alteration in our brain structure. For instance, London taxi drivers, whose job requires remembering the twisty streets of London, develop a larger hippocampus. That's the region of the brain required for visual spatial memories. And happier people have more active left frontal lobes in their brain. Hansen states that small positive actions every day will add up to large changes over time as you gradually build new neural pathways and structures in the brain. What happens in your mind, what you pay attention to, what you practice and think changes your brain. And what happens in your brain changes your mind, since we know that the brain and your mind are in an integrated system. You can use your mind to change your brain to benefit your mind, and perhaps more importantly, to benefit those whose lives you touch. While Hansen talks about the mind, I'm applying this to the heart muscle, because I'm talking about love here today, which is actually a mental process related to our brain more than our heart muscle. And this is really exciting and challenging news, because we each have the ability to reorient ourselves in a way so that we can gradually, instinctively, respond in more loving ways. I am bringing this up today not only because this whole year we're going to be focusing on how we look at life through the aspect of love, but I also think the past few fearful, isolated pandemic years, we have all created some neuronal pathways that are not serving us well. At a national level, I see people reacting to each other out of fear, out of anxiety, and a desire for more control and order, and out of anger. And at individual levels, we have taught ourselves to keep a bit distance from others, to expect disappointment, and perhaps to not be too hopeful. When we allow this to happen without paying attention, this can become our mindset. And we don't act out of the love that we really aspire to, the way we want to be in this world. The good news is that we can reorient our hearts towards others. We can change our pathways. Hansen points out that being mindful is key to this. Paying attention to what we think can influence our brain and our mind. I talk about spiritual practices here every week. And the reason I do this is because it's so important to how we focus our minds, what we pay attention to. There are a few practices we can adopt that reinforce our reorientation. There's a practice of gratitude that reminds us of what we are grateful for, who we are grateful for. I have a gratitude practice where I reflect on three things by asking myself, what has happened recently in my life that I'm grateful for? That's not a hard question, but sometimes it's hard to answer. Ask yourself, what has happened recently in my life that I am grateful for? The next question I ask myself is, what natural experience, such as a sunset, or perhaps a bird call, or a forest walk, what natural experience am I grateful for right now? What experience with nature have you had recently that you are grateful for? And the last question I ask is, who am I holding in my heart right now, grateful that they are part of my life? Who are you grateful for? When I answer these questions, I pay attention to things that I may not normally give weight to, and I find it reorients my day when I start with a practice of gratitude. The other practice I'll mention here is to simply notice moments of happiness, moments when I experience love, moments of joy. Instead of experiencing these and moving on, when we stop and actively notice and say, oh, I'm experiencing happiness, I'm experiencing love. When I do that, I am reinforcing the neuron pathways in my brain, and I will become capable of being more happy and more loving. This year, we're going to spend time identifying the values we hold, the things we believe are important for how we respond to the world. But the central part of all of this is to live out our values from a place of love. Like Margaret talked about this morning, how do we look through the lens of love at our values? We may value equity and we may value generosity, but if we don't live out these values from a place of love, kindness, and compassion, we can't be part of transforming the world. It isn't enough to be right or honest if we can't be loving. We need more loving in this world. We need more people to say, I love you, I care, I hear you. We need each of us to be oriented toward loving each other to death, because we need each other to get out of the mess of this world. I need you to love me and show that you love me. And you need to know that I love you. So let's call on each other to notice how much we love each other, and let's reorient our hearts to each other and to this world through love. Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the North Lake Unitarian Universalist Church podcast. We hope that the words you heard today have uplifted your spirit and perhaps inspired you on your journey. Remember, our mission is to nurture your spirit and to be part of the work of healing our world. If you would like to stay connected or learn more about our community, please visit our website at northlakeuu.org. We would love to hear from you and continue the conversation. Thank you once again for being part of our podcast. Blessings to you as you journey onward.